Let's go to the Technicom guest line right now and bring in a man. I'm sure you read him for years as a writer for ESPN.com covering the NBA. He's got his own website, and it's a pretty darn cool thing that he's got. SheridanHoops.com. Chris Sheridan joins us. Talk a little bit about the Bobcats coaching search, but also the playoffs. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Chris, how about yourself?
We're doing great, man. I appreciate you coming on with us. First of all, your thoughts. The most prominent name we're hearing, and I understand the Bobcats are probably going to have to go for an assistant. I would not expect them to beat down MJ's door for this gig after the season they just had. I guess if they get the number one pick and they wait till after that, that obviously could make it more enticing. But, Patrick Ewing, have you talked to people around the game that have a feeling on what type of hire, what type of head coach he would be? Because I just look at him and think, oh, no, this could be another one of Michael Jordan's buddies being hired here. And I don't know if that's – I don't know if the fans would like that angle.
Well, you know, Michael hired one of his buddies with Larry Brown because those guys both believe Carolina blue, and you know, we saw how that worked out. I don't know if Michael wants to hire a guy who he doesn't like. I think there's probably a middle ground, but Michael has shown in the past that he's willing to hire his buddies. He did it with Charles Oakley when he put Charles on the bench as an assistant, and you know, Patrick has been kind of pining for a head coaching job for a good 3-4 years now, and he's worked under Stan in Orlando, and he's learned a lot down there. He did get an interview with the Pistons last year. He lost out in that to Lawrence Frank, but I think certainly he's a guy that the Bobcats should take a look at. But whether or not Patrick is friendly with Michael, I don't think should really enter into the equation. I think they should hire the coach who's going to be able to help that team rebuild as quickly as possible. And, you know, certainly if they win the lottery and they get Anthony Davis as the number one pick, maybe you want a big man coach working with him, and that could certainly bode well for Patrick. But the other side of the equation is, look, there's a lot of good assistants out there on teams that have won year after year after year. You know, you look at Brett Brown or Mike Budenholzer, the assistants down in San Antonio, to Greg Popovich. These guys have put in a lot of years being assistant coaches for a team that is year in and year out one of the finest products that the league puts out. So I think the Bobcats should make a wide search. I don't see why there's any rush to get it done. If you want to hire an assistant off a playoff team, you're going to have to wait. And I think the best thing to do now is wait. You have to wait for the lottery to see where you're going to pick. And then you have to wait and see who's available and which direction you want to go. And so that's kind of a long-winded way of saying Patrick should get a look, but I think the Bobcats should look far and wide.
Okay. A lot of national guys, Chris, have been hammering Jordan. And I understand. I mean, this was the worst winning percentage in NBA history. We watched this team. We cringed all season long. I just kind of feel like what they're doing now, I think they said, obviously, we don't want to try to be the 8 seed. You know, in the playoffs. We don't want to aim for that. Let's tear this team apart. Let's try to do what Oklahoma City did. They even brought in a guy who was a part of the OKC front office, you know, in Rich Cho. Do you think Michael deserves all this beating? I mean, he's basically being called one of the worst owners in the history of the sport, and I kind of feel like they might be rebuilding, at least trying to rebuild the right way. What do you think about the job Michael's done?
Well, they said the same thing about Clay Bennett when he bought the Seattle Supersonics, and they immediately tore him apart. And Sam Presti, the first thing he did when he came in is he gave away Ray Allen, and he let Rashard Lewis go because the Orlando Magic were willing to pay Rashard Lewis a ridiculous amount of money. And they went into rebuilding mode, and look how well they did. You know, they got lucky in that the Trailblazers took Greg Oden over Kevin Durant, but they got Kevin Durant, they got James Harden, they got Russell Westbrook in the draft, and you know that's the way you do it if you're starting from rock bottom. And certainly the Bobcats hit rock bottom this year, and so now they go into the lottery. They see what they come out with. This is a real deep draft this year, so even if you don't get the number one pick, certainly you're going to pick no lower than 4 or 5. The Bobcats are going to come out with a decent player, but you have to be patient, and I think that's one of the reasons why Michael brought in Rich Cho. Maybe it's because Rich Cho fleeced him in that Gerald Wallace trade. He said, well, I got to get this guy in after he did that to me. But If they're going to follow the Rich Trill model, and Rich, you know, he was a disciple of Sam Presti in Seattle and in Oklahoma City, it's going to take a couple of years, and it's going to take a couple high draft picks to really pan out. And I think that's going to be the key. You can be a bad team and have high draft picks, but if you make bad picks, you know, if every pick is going to be another Adam Morrison, you're never going to get better. So drafting, it's got to be the number one focus of the Charlotte Bobcats for the next 2-3 years. And then you see what you have. You know, DJ's a good point guard, and Kemba Walker, he was a good college player. I think he had a disappointing rookie season. And you know, Gerald Henderson carried that team, but you wonder how much longer he's going to be a main piece. And that's where you go from. But it's going to be a long process, and it's going to be a process that's dictated by the ability with which you draft. And I think Rich Cho is a real smart guy and should be able to pick up the right kind of player that the Bobcats need.
Do you think they can accomplish what they want to accomplish, Chris, if they don't get lucky? And just like Durant fell to Seattle, later Oklahoma City, do they have to get lucky for this city of Charlotte to ever have a team that's in the conversation?
Well, it would help them if they got lucky and got Anthony Davis, because he's certainly going to be a heck of a player. He's going to be one of the best defensive centers that's come along in the league, and maybe since Dwight Howard. So luck always helps, but you can't rely on luck. And so let's say Bobcats don't win the number one spot in the lottery, they got to do their due diligence, and they got to bring these guys in for workouts and not fall too much in love with any one guy. I think that was the case with Morrison when they brought him in, and they just fell in love with him because he was nailing every shot he took with nobody guarding him. He had been a prolific scorer in college, but his game just didn't transfer over to the NBA. So you got to be lucky, but more than luck, you got to be smart.
And you say it's a process. A long process. I mean, how long do you think this is? 2 years, 3 years, or even?
No, three. 3 years.
Three.
3 years to get out, to climb out of the hole there. And it's going to take some patience. They've made some bad trades over the years, and they're going to pay for those trades, and they've made some bad picks. It's not an easy thing rebuilding a team from scratch, and changes don't happen overnight to make a team go from the worst winning percentage in NBA history to a contending team. So I think you're going to see more of the same next year from the Bobcats. They're going to be a bad team. Let's see who's leading them as the coach, and let's see which of their players progress and become better pros, and which ones are keepers, and then the other ones you move along and you keep rebuilding. But you certainly don't want to hold your breath on the Bobcats. It's going to be about 3 years.
No, you would die if we're trying to hold our breath till they're good. That would not work out for this city. Chris, we appreciate it, man. I love the website. You can follow them on Twitter at Sheridan Hoops. SheridanHoops.com is the website. Keep up the good work. Thanks for talking with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, fellas, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Chris Sheridan, talk a little bit about the Bobcats, where they're going. It is a few years, man. I think people thought it would just be like a, you know, 2-year thing, 1-year, 2-year thing. This is going to take multiple high draft picks, man. And then they got to hit the draft picks, which has been an issue. All right, when we come back, this guy won last comic standing. He's got an unbelievable story, his own Showtime special. Absolutely hilarious. Josh Blue is in town at the Comedy Zone. He'll come in studio. He'll chat us up, make us laugh a little bit on the Fan.